Hello, everyone, all friends and brothers, sisters, cousins, uncles, anyone who so desires to listen to this podcast today. I'm here, Luke, I'm here, and I'll be talking about the sports. Baseball, basketball, hot in the streets. Football, not so hot in the streets because it's June and no one watches football right now. Hockey, I don't know much about hockey right now. Let's have a look. Is there any hockey today? We're doing this live. Yes, there is. What has been happening in the hockey? They're down to the final four teams to decide who's going to be in the Stanley Cup. Vegas versus Montreal. Tampa Bay versus the New York Islanders. And Tampa Bay, they were in the Stanley Cup Finals last year. But we're not going to be talking about hockey right now. So let's just hop on into it. The baseball has been looking hot lately. Probably the biggest news, Shohei Ohtani, maybe not the biggest news, but Shohei Ohtani has said that he'll be in the home run derby. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. says he will not. That's just the number one thing on ESPN. The MLB also today starting. The MLB will start enforcing their sticky stuff rule, which is regarding pitchers and the stuff that they put on their hands to throw the ball. And teams were, and players were using too much and doing too much with it. And they were kind of abusing their desires. And they were messing everything up for everyone else. The players like Trevor Bauer, Garrett Cole, they're dominant because of the sticky stuff. Can't have that. So the MLB will start doing daily or inning by inning checks to make sure that everyone is doing their thing and they're not doing anything suspicious or questionable. But that's just how it is these days. Baseball has to rely on the umpires. They can't just say, players, don't do that. Players have some need to do it by themselves. That's not good. Well, also, the baseball, let's take a look at the standings right now. Your San Francisco Giants have the best record in baseball. Congratulations, the San Francisco Giants. I don't think many people were expecting on June 21st, the San Francisco Giants would have the best record in all of baseball. Ahead of the Dodgers, Padres, Mets, Yankees, Astros. Well, actually, I could just name 29 other teams that they have a better record than. They're coming off a series win against the Philadelphia Phillies. They had a good time out there. Philadelphia did not. Philadelphia did win the second game of the series. And the Giants won the first one, then lost the second one. Their bullpen kind of messed it up in the second game. But in the third game, they just tore it apart and won 11-2. Fun game for the Giants. Giants also made some transactions today, sending down Lamont Wade Jr., Jason Vossler, and activating Alex Dickerson and Darren Ruff. And I don't know how I feel about that. I don't agree with sending down Lamont Wade Jr. He'd been one of their best hitters lately. He has a really good eye. He makes a lot of contact. He's a good fielder. But the Giants, they send him down. I would have liked them to just DFA Mike Tauchman because he's not hitting well. He can field. He's made those two game-saving catches. But he can't hit, it seems. But he's out of options. So the Giants would have to DFA him. I'm not sure if they really wanted DFA him. So they went with Lamont Wade Jr., who of all their outfielders, he's one of only two who have options left. Steven Duggar's the other one, and I don't think they would want to send down Steven Duggar because he's been really good lately, even better than Lamont Wade Jr. A surprising team out there, the Milwaukee Brewers. Brewers have a 40-32 record leading the NL Central. They're tied with the Cubs, same record. But the NL Central's been very interesting. The St. Louis Cardinals are fourth in the division at 500 exactly, at 36-36. They're no fun. St. Louis Cardinals, what's going on out there? We don't know. They have to figure it out. What's wrong with them? Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, they have good players. Jack Flaherty, who's hurt, but I don't know. They've had a tough time out there. St. Louis, they were my pick to win the Central. I thought they were going to do it easily, but now they're fourth. All my predictions have been wrong. I was expecting the Giants to be just below 500. They're 20 games above 500. The Mets in the NL East, there's finally some separation between the teams. The Marlins have kind of fallen apart. The Washington Nationals have been looking good lately. The Atlanta Braves, they are not looking good lately. They have the same record as the Washington Nationals. The Braves were people's, and the Braves and the Mets were like a toss-up for people at the start of the season on who would win the NL East. The Mets have now kind of taken away with the division. They're up by 4 games over the Phillies. The Mets have lost 2 games in a row. They lost some games in their last series. Who were they playing last time? Let's see, who was it? Do not recall. The Mets right now, they're playing the Braves, but... Oh yeah, the Mets are playing the Nationals, excuse me. And they lost 2 out of 3 to the Nationals. Right now, they're playing the Atlanta Braves. Jacob deGrom has allowed a hit, so he has 5 innings, 1 hit, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts on 70 pitches to lower his ERA to 0.50. Ooh. I don't know how I'd feel if Jacob deGrom was a pitcher on my team. I don't know if I would get bored after a while, just like, can you give up some runs finally? Or if I would just be like, let's go. Excuse me. A little tired. Did not sleep well last night. The Phillies, they lost to the Giants. The Braves, they beat the... They are coming off a series win, I think, to the St. Louis Cardinals. Maybe a series loss. Let's see, to the Cardinals. Yeah, it's a series win against the Cardinals. Going over to the AL, the Boston Red Sox in the AL East, they're only a half game up on the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays have lost 6 games in a row. The Rays were tied with the Giants at one point for the best record in the MLB, but the Rays just got swept in 4 games by the Seattle Mariners. And speaking of the Seattle Mariners, they've turned it around. They have a winning record. They're 38-36. The AL West, underrated. That's a good division over there. And Texas Rangers are the only team that absolutely is atrocious. And speaking of atrocious teams, by the way, the Arizona Diamondbacks, they've lost 17 games in a row. It's the worst losing streak since 2013 when the Houston Astros lost 15 games in a row. They have not won a game since June 1st, the Diamondbacks haven't. Oh my. They also set a record. They've not won a road game since Madison Bumgarner's 7-inning no-hitter back in April. That's tough for the Diamondbacks. Texas Rangers have lost 6 games in a row. They're kind of falling apart, as everyone expected they would. But the Angels, they're right there at 500. The Mariners are 2 games above 500. And the Astros, they have won 7 games in a row. The A's lost a series to the Yankees. So the Astros have jumped into first place for the first time in a while. The A's started off the year terribly. They were like, what were they, 3-13 or something? And now the Astros have popped back in front. The A's went on a hot streak. They won 14 games in a row. Then the Astros have been hot lately. The A's, they kind of play an ugly brand of baseball. Like, I don't really enjoy watching A's games, but they win games, so there's that. In the AL Central, the White Sox, they're at the top of the division by 2.5 games over the Cleveland Indians, who, even without Francisco Lindor and Shane Bieber, who went on the injured list, their best starter, they've plowed along. They're 39-30. The Kansas City Royals, who were at the top of that division at some point earlier in April, they've come back way down to earth. They're 32-38. The Minnesota Twins, who I expected to compete with the Tigers, they're just not doing it. They've won 4 in a row. I believe, who do they play? I think they swept the Texas Rangers. They still have a negative 51 run differential. That's not fun. So they have to do something about that. Make a move at the deadline. I'm not sure if they're a team that's going to make the move at the trade deadline to try to win games or just try to sell players, because you have Miguel Sano, who's not going to be free agent for... When's Miguel Sano a free agent? A couple years, I think. Let's see, Spotrac, is my presumption correct? But they have players on that team. Byron Buxton's probably not going anywhere. They have Mitch Garver behind the plate, Josh Donaldson at third. So they have good names who were good a couple years ago. Let's see, Miguel Sano. Oh my God. Names. There we go. Here we are. Miguel Sano. Oh, he's not a free agent until 2020. When's he a free agent? 2024. So it's a couple years down the road. But there, I haven't heard many players that, or many players on the Twins that have been appealing trade targets. And that's kind of odd because they're not a very good team right now. Tigers are behind them. They're having a tough time. So Tigers have kind of, no one expected them to be good, and they haven't been good. In the AL East, the Red Sox are at the top, Rays behind them by half a game. Then the Yankees, who've been sitting at around 500, kind of jumping around there, they have an exactly zero run differential, so they're exactly 500 in expected to be, because teams with a zero run differential probably doesn't win too many games and doesn't lose too many games either. The Blue Jays are fourth. They're at 500. Some teams gonna have to, two teams I think are gonna have to come out of there. I think that they get the wild card spot. I think it's probably gonna be the Rays and the Red Sox. Maybe the Yankees sneak in there. The Blue Jays just have too many teams ahead of them that are better. And then the Baltimore Orioles, they're way behind it. 19 and a half games behind the Red Sox. They're at 23 and 48. But the Rays, they're gonna have to, they seem like they're a playoff team. Yankees don't really. I think that only the White Sox are going to come out of the Central, because the Indians, they don't really seem like a playoff team to me. And then the A's or the Astros are going to be the wildcard team, one of the two, because the Mariners and Angels don't really seem like a deep threat. The Rays, speaking of the Rays, they'll call up the number one prospect in all of baseball, Wander Franco. That's exciting. He's a shortstop. They trade away Willy Adames in May to the Milwaukee Brewers to clear a spot for him. But then instead of calling Wander up at the time, they called up Taylor Walls, who's performed decently. He hasn't been great, but he's been serviceable. I think this might be a service time manipulation. What's it called? Manipulation? Yeah. Manipulation, I think. But it seems like he would have been, Wander Franco would have been up by now. But whatever, he's coming up on Tuesday. They're playing the Boston Red Sox. That's actually an exciting series, because those two teams are right in the thick of it, in the middle of the standings. At the top, they're 1-2, the Red Sox, then the Rays. And that's their MLB. Let's see, what is Taylor Walls hitting? Taylor Walls. Yeah, he's hitting .237, 1.2 WAR, so he's definitely, he's a good fielder. So yeah, he's having a good season. He's not, he had 107 OPS plus, 356 on base, not really slugging that much at 355, and then about a 700 OPS. So that's pretty good in 26 games. But Willy Adames, who they traded away, he'd always been kind of mediocre with the Rays. Now, in this year, actually, with the Rays, he was hitting 197 with a 625 OPS, 78 OPS plus. And then now when he goes to Milwaukee, he's hitting 280, 388 on base percentage, 839 OPS. That's very good. And a 128 on OPS plus. And he's been doing very good after he left Tampa Bay. And I think that both teams are satisfied with what they got in return. The Rays got a bunch of bullpen arms that were kind of scrubs, but then they've turned them into good players, which is just what the Tampa Bay Rays do. And let's see, what's the upcoming games? Today's games, Braves, Mets, Houston, Baltimore, that doesn't sound like too much fun. The Braves, Mets are doing a doubleheader, so game one today. It's the bottom of the fifth, with bases loaded, 2-1, Mets in that one. The Cleveland Indians and Chicago Cubs, Texas and Oakland, in Texas. Oh, Dodgers and Padres, that's coming up. That's exciting, because that'll help the Giants, because either way, whoever wins and loses, I just hope that the Padres win, because they're five games back, and the Dodgers are only 1.5, so I'll be rooting for the Padres in that one. Diamondbacks play the Brewers. I don't think that they're getting, once like the next time that the Diamondbacks play like a bad team, because they've just been playing Giants, Dodgers, Angels, A's. They even played the Brewers, Mets, Cardinals. They played them. Let's see. Do they have like a bad team coming up? Nope. It doesn't get any easier. It's Brewers for three, Padres for three, Cardinals in St. Louis, that could be. Then the Giants for four at home against in at home. And that's the first week of July. Then Rockies, that's possible. That's possible. So, and then three against the Dodgers, and then they head into the All-Star break. That's no fun for the Diamondbacks. They're probably their best chances. I would assume that they have to win at least one game, because they were able to beat the Mets one time back in at the start of June, June 1st exactly, actually. And it's not a fun time to be a Diamondbacks fan, that's for sure. And then Cincinnati and Minnesota, that'll be interesting. Tomorrow, the Giants play the Angels, Rockies, Seattle, Toronto, and Miami. So a lot of interleague series. St. Louis and Detroit, Boston and Tampa. I'm surprised that game isn't going to be on ESPN, because that's Wander Franco's debut. He's kind of been hyped up. Royals play the Yankees. The Yankees can take advantage of some possible time to jump up in their division. And then Chicago White Sox and Pittsburgh Pirates. White Sox should take a bunch of games. So now let's move over to a different sport altogether. Let's see. Do I have a sound effect? Let's just say, what should be a sound effect for this? Just to change. Let's see here. Okay. That's your transition over to the NBA. NBA playoffs are happening. They just came out. I don't really know much about basketball. I'll do my best. Marcus could not be here because he had technical difficulties. But what's the round? Because I know right now it's going to be the conference finals. What is the second round? I'll just say that they're coming out of the second round. Because the Phoenix Suns, they surprisingly sweep the Denver Nuggets. Chris Paul got corona, so he missed game one of the next series. The Clippers, they win in their series 4-2 over the number one seed Utah Jazz. The Hawks, Atlanta Hawks. Let's see, do I have a bird? Kaha! There's your bird sound. They upset the 76ers in 7 games. Ooh, fun series. I heard that Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons had a rough time. Ben Simmons still can't shoot. They've always said, oh, he'll get better at shooting as he gets older. He's not gotten better at all in any aspect of his game. And that might be why the 76ers lost, because the Hawks are definitely a good team. Trae Young on that team, Kevin Huerter, other guys like that. They don't really have like the big name like Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons, but they have one really good player in Trae Young. And then the Bucks knock out Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets in 7 games. That was an exciting. I watched the final game of that. Let's see. The game went to overtime. Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 40 points. Kevin Durant scored 48. Thanasis Antetokounmpo. Who's that? He seems like he's a scrub. He only played 1 minute. Is Jeff Teague on the Bucks? I love Jeff Teague. He was one of my favorite players when I was in my youth. Let's see, who's Jay Jackson for the Bucks? Justin Jackson, okay. What did I click on? Let's see, Axel Toupain on your Milwaukee Bucks, ring number 66. Let's see, what is his career stats? Axel Toupain? Oh, he hasn't played since 2016, then returned. Okay, we're just scrolling around the box scores right now. Jeff Teague is on the Bucks. He wears number 5. I thought he was on the Boston Celtics, but whatever. He did not play in the game 7. That game came down to the wire. The Bucks had their chances, and so did the Nets. But with what was it? Let's see how much time left. There was the play at the end of the fourth. The Nets looked like they'd taken a commanding lead in the middle of the fourth quarter, up by 5 at one point with 5 minutes left. Jrue Holiday made a 3. to cut it to two. Then Kevin Durant made two free throws to make it back to an 8-point lead. It went back to five after a Giannis layup and then James Harden three. Chris Middleton hit a three. That's it. That's fun. So it was 101-99, 2 minutes left. Then Giannis tied it with 2 minutes and 45 seconds on a little jump shot. Then just went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The Jrue Holiday made a three to make it 104-101 Bucks. Ugh. The Nets scored. Bucks scored 106-105 with, and let's jump ahead to the final minute. Chris Middleton made two free throws to make a 4-point Bucks lead. Kevin Durant hit a pull-up jumper to make it 109-107. And then, so the Bucks get the ball, hustle down, miss a three by Chris Middleton. PJ Tucker got the offensive rebound, but they only had 1 second left on the shot clock when he got the rebound. And instead of, and so they have 1 second, they even need to toss it in, just throw a shot up. The Bucks toss it in. Brook Lopez just holds onto the ball. It's a shot clock violation. With 6 seconds left and 109-107, that proved to be costly for the Bucks, because Kevin Durant with one second left, he makes a dagger jumper from 24 feet out, tied the game at 109. That would be into overtime. The overtime was extremely low scoring. They didn't score from 4 minutes and 38 seconds until 1 minute and 12 seconds left. Bruce Brown made a jumper. Then Giannis drove in for a layup to tie it at 111 with a minute left. Chris Middleton knocked down a 2-pointer, excuse me, to make it 113-111 with 41 seconds to go in the OT period. Kevin Durant took a shot with about 1 second left, airballed everything, and that kind of ended it. There was a foul. Brook Lopez made two more free throws, and that ended the game. The Nets were knocked out, surprisingly. I mean, maybe not that surprisingly, because the Bucks are a good team, but they don't really have much beyond Giannis. The Nets, they had Kyrie Irving, but he was hurt for the final couple of games. They also had James Harden, but he didn't really perform too well. He didn't even play, I think. Did he not play? Yeah, he played. He just was terrible. 5 of 17, 2 for 12 on 3, 10 free throws, though. Kevin Durant put up 48. He played the whole game. So did James Harden. Bruce Brown played 52 minutes. Chris Middleton played 52 minutes. Only 3 bench players. The Nets only had 3 bench players, and one guy played 0 minutes, played 2 seconds. Nick Claxton. So next, the upcoming series is Suns Clippers and Hawks Bucks. I think that I had questions for Marcus, but I think that I'll just do this myself. The Suns and the Clippers, I think that it'll be key for Chris Paul to perform, because he sounds like he doesn't have symptoms from his corona, so he'll probably be back by game 3 or 4, I assume. And it'll be key, because he was the key to them winning their series against the Nuggets and sweeping. They now play the Clippers, who are a totally different team. They have a much better defensive skill set. Kawhi Leonard's been performing really well, but he's hurt. He's out for the playoffs, I believe. Did he not? I think it was a torn meniscus, I think. What was that injury? Torn meniscus, I think it was, in his knee. That was difficult and no fun. But oh my. Okay, we're having some technical difficulties of ourselves over here, as my computer spinning wheel of death. So I think that the Suns will win that series. I think Chris Paul will be key, because Devin Booker has his own thing. DeAndre Ayton does his own thing. Jay Crowder's good. The Clippers, they just don't really seem like a team that would win, that would make it to the playoffs. No LeBron. What injury is it? Okay. Right knee sprain is the injury. So, and they say, Adrian Wojnarowski says that he thinks that I think just that he thinks that Kawhi Leonard will be off of the playoffs. And then also this another question I was going to ask Marcus was, why do you think the 76ers are beaten? And I can answer that myself. I think that Ben Simmons, I kind of talked about this earlier, he just hasn't, like, gotten better. He's been pretty much the exact same player for all his years in the NBA. When he's been in the NBA for four, this is his fourth season now. And his numbers are pretty much, everything is exactly the same. He's never been a three-point shooter. He made three three-pointers this year. He's a career 15% free throw, three-point shooter, 5 for 34. A point guard who's 6'11", mind that, but still can shoot. He should be a better, three-point shooter, or at least expand his game to beyond just standing underneath the basket and dunking. And then his free throw shooting was also a terrible thing. He had difficulty shooting basic free throws. He's a 60% free throw shooter. Let's see, what were his playoff stats? Playoff statistics? Let's see here. Yeah, in the Eastern Conference semifinals, that's what it's called. He finished 15 for 45. What's that? 33% from the free throw line? What? That's a 33% free throw shooter. How is that? What? Am I wrong? I'm right. 33% from free throw. And then averaged 10 points the whole series. Your number two score behind Joel Embiid should not be only scoring 10 points. And then next series, Hawks and Bucks. I think the Bucks will win that one. But because they were able to beat the Nets, and I believed that the winner of the Hawks or the Bucks versus Nets series would be the one that would come out of the Eastern Conference and probably play Suns versus Clippers. I think that'll be the Suns versus the Bucks in the NBA Finals, and then the Bucks will win. Because the Hawks, they kind of seem like sort of, to use a baseball example, because that's what I'm better at, they're kind of like the Miami Marlins from last year's playoffs. Because they were kind of just the team that was like kept on winning, and then eventually they had to lose at some point because they ended up losing to the Braves in the NLDS, I think. Yeah, NLDS. But the Hawks, they've been a surprise team. They have definitely have pieces to, in the future, definitely to compete. They're not a team that I would want to mess around with if I played basketball, but I don't really. I can do inside basketball. I'm pretty good at that. And also some non-playoff basketball-related thing, but there was a trade. Celtics traded Kemba Walker and a draft pick to Oklahoma City for former Celtic center Al Horford, center Moses Brown, and three draft picks. So the Celtics kind of get back Al Horford. I don't know if he's as good as he used to be, but Kemba Walker to Oklahoma City Thunder. Were the Thunder good this year? No, they were not. They were atrocious. 22-50 was their record. Who was their point guard? Their point guard was someone named Theo Maladone. He's from France. And was he good? No, he was not. What's his efficiency? I like looking at the efficiency. Where is that? They don't really show that on Basketball Reference. That'd be... Yeah, he had 8.2, which is not... The league average is 15, and Theo Maladone was at 8.2. So they don't really have a point guard. Kemba Walker can kind of be also... He's more of a shooting guard, I would think. Yeah, they call him a point guard. He hasn't been... He was good in the 2020 season. He made four straight All-Star games. But this year, he was hurt at some point. And then also, he just didn't really play very well. I mean, he wasn't terrible, but his efficiency rating was above average. His was 17. He was inactive for the first 11 games of the season. Then was hurt a lot of the time. Missed the final two games of his series against the Brooklyn Nets in the playoffs. and now is playing for the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are not good. Their coach is named someone named, who is this? Mark Dejanalt? I think. I'll go with that. Al Horford, is Al Horford still good? Let's see. Yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah, he's right around, and then, oh, he's in the Dominican Republic? I didn't know that. And then Moses Brown, is he good? He was the starting center for the Thunder most of the year. Started in 32 games. He was brought over in, he signed a two-way contract with the Oklahoma City Thunder in December. Spent last year with the Portland Trailblazers, so that's kind of weird that he would be that he's their starting center, maybe because they're just trash, but he can't shoot. Al Horford can shoot, Kemba Walker can shoot, but I don't really know how well that fits on the Boston Celtics, because the Celtics, do they even have, I haven't really kept up with the Celtics roster, do they have like, they finished 36-36, that's not really where you want to be. They had Robert Williams as their center, so he'll probably be the backup. He was the starting center, so probably Moses Brown will be the backup, and then Al Horford will spend time at power forward, because their power forward was Jabari Parker, and, well, he was the backup, and Tristan Thompson, ooh, that's not fun. He only averaged 7 points, Tristan Thompson did, so he's not very good, but, and was he efficient? Below average. He's above average for his career. But I think that'll wrap it up. That's your basketball talk with me, someone who does not watch a large amount of basketball. But I did my best. I hope you enjoyed, and have a good day. Have a good evening. Toodles.